Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. Welcome to Vibrant Living. Welcome, welcome. And I wanted to share with you guys two stories today. Then I want to introduce our panel here at our lunchtime retreat hour. So there are two stories, because I wanted to set up this listening to be with John Adago today. John Adago is our special honored co-host on Awakening, or Conversations in Awakening. So the two stories I wanted to share, they changed my life significantly. And they're not just stories. They're really things that woke me up in a way, the same way I want you to wake up today listening to John and wonderful Lisa LaRose and John Carafa, who's brought with us live from Hawaii. So one story is the former financial ambassador of Chile. When there was a coup in Chile, they took over the government, and he was up against a firing squad. They were just about to kill him. And he was talking about, as human beings, when we're really awake, we listen in a way that invokes something in other human beings. It kind of pulls something out. I call this work listening to listening. So he talked about this ability to listen in a way where when the soldiers were about to kill him, they touch eyes and they put their guns down. And in John's work and experiencing the remarkable, it's about developing this fine tuning, your listening and awareness, where the remarkable becomes the relevant thing in the room with people, the cashier. The remarkable becomes something as a way of life, as a way of noticing. It's not just information, blur. That the idea that you're living from a place of retreat, regeneration, rejuvenation, and awakeness, and then you bring that in your life as a path of action. The other quick story is that when I first was waking up, I was studying a course in materials, and I was hitchhiking, and I got picked up, and within seconds, this man put a knife to my throat. And I just remember that this one idea, one principle, that we're all connected in a bigger mind, that there's a bigger impulse of life that we're all connected through. And I can remember when I had the knife on my throat, I just felt this sense of connection and oneness, and he put the knife down, he let me out of the car. And that was a remarkable moment. So the experience of the remarkable and listening in a way that brings that out of other people, independent or beyond circumstance. I want to introduce, by the way, Lisa LaRose, who's so wonderful, as my dear beloved friend for, 20 years. She also comes with the wonderful quotes and a lot of the introductions to these formats with John Adago. In a moment, I'll let Lisa read the quote of the day, because she's always so brilliant at that. Janet Carafa is a world-renowned mime, innovator. I feel she's an innovator in the field of movement, hot yoga, and really helping people move in a way that brings new aliveness and wonder to their lives. She also owns this wonderful studio in Kauai. The first time I met Janet was over the phone, and she said to me something that sticks in my soul forever. She said, "Glenn, you speak in a way that you speak to the invisible. You speak in a language of mime." And she woke up another aspect of genius. The first time we physically met, we did a mime piece at a beautiful theater in Northampton, Massachusetts. She's a beloved friend and family member. Janet, welcome. Lisa, welcome. Lisa, go ahead. I want to have you read the quote of the day, because it's one of John's books. And I love how you select and bring the opening, because I feel we're opening the audience. We're opening right now. I want you guys to see us in Hawaii. We're sitting at Janet's Yoga Studio Retreat Center, and John Adago just walked through them. But Lisa's going to read this quote first.
I'm actually going to just a brief introduction that John was so kind to provide to me. So it gives a little bit of a story around the quote. So several seekers from Europe travel to the East. Glenn, is that in your background?
Yes, it is. They just left. I had to banish them from the building.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to start
Sorry.
Again.
Sorry.
Several seekers from Europe traveled to the East to meet a great teacher. When they arrived, they were brought into a place of worship where they found the teacher sitting in meditation. They sat down. The teacher opened his eyes and greeted them with these words. It is not my desire which has to be carried out. The desire which has to be helped is that which arises in people looking for the truth, wishing to live a divine life, and are willing to make efforts in that direction. The teacher is available. The door is always open to anyone, from the East or the West, irrespective of upbringing or culture, because we are all of the same stock. As long as the desire is strong, unwavering, and stable, the help will always be available. Really beautiful.
What do you catch, Lisa, when you read that? What's moving to you about it?
The words that struck me the most and you know, really, there's so much speaking to me, you know, in that, but, you know, wishing to live a divine life really is one of the things that is near and dear to my heart. I think for every person on this planet, you know, that means something different. You know, what does it mean to live a divine life to me? You know, it means to be a good servant to those that I meet, and, you know, with a smile on my face, and hopefully that reflected in my heart and my greeting. I try to do my best sometimes. You know, people present me with challenges, but, you know, I try to be a good steward to the animals and to the planet. And, you know, to me, that's my divine life. If I can, you know, get through on the other end with, you know, really treating people honorably, and at the end of my life, you know, I can say, yeah, you know, that was a good life. And I would you know, want to ask, you know, John, you know, welcome. And you know, you wrote those words, so, you know, for you, you know, the words that touched me,
welcome, John,
living a divine life.
Thank you.
You know, for you, what has that brought you along your journey, and what does that mean?
Yeah, well, this is a quote from the book East Meets West, and it's the story of a teacher, a very profound teacher in India named Shantananda Saraswati, who over a period of 30 years was instrumental in passing on the teaching and the traditions of India to America and Europe. And it's interesting that the first words he spoke when this contact was initiated were, "It is not my desire which has to be carried out." And this is a fundamental principle of the spiritual life. In our everyday affairs, when we meet a person or a situation, our first impulse is to consider, well, how did this affect me and my interests and my wants and my needs? The spiritually more mature approach is what's conveyed in this sentence, which is, what's my duty in this situation? How do I meet this situation or this person in such a way as to fulfill the need of that person or situation? So the emphasis is off of the individual and on the universal. In fact, this liberates the practitioner, because all day long we are preoccupied with our own personal concerns and interests. It's a form of bondage. A certain amount of that is necessary just to survive and get along, but to that we add so much more that's unnecessary. We really have a great deal of time and energy available to be of use to others and to the creation. And that's what's so remarkable about the fact that this was the teacher's first words to these seekers. It is not my desire which has to be carried out.
Janet, I want to welcome you deeply.
Yes.
You know, I realize
you.
That. As, yeah,
that's
thank you
beautiful.
Very much. You know, as that was very beautiful.
Was
I was just thinking that when John read that, and Lisa shared about being a kind of a divine light or participating in life in a way that's from bigness, I realized that it's interesting. I want to get you to comment on this issue. You have people move in hot yoga, and you're a world class. I love you as a mime and what you transfer there, and so honored to perform with you, by the way. You know, the funny thing about it is, you're one of those people. When I met you, I experienced a bigger life from instantly. It was in an instant moment. It was no time, and I feel like I've always had that. We've always had perfect rhythm and syncness, and I really got to say I couldn't explain that from my intellect. And I realized the experience of the remarkable and awakening is sort of, it's almost ahead of the intellect. I was talking with, I'm going to call her M, who listens to this program, and I'm going to call her M, let her maintain a little confidence. And she was sharing that from John, she's really getting this notion of investment in being, that somehow there's this investment that's a very different investment than just acquiring more intellectual analytical skill. How does it strike you? This moment of the remarkable, this experience of the remarkable, please.
What I can, I'll tell you two different, very short stories of my experience as a mime artist. Sometimes as a mime artist, I have been hired to meet and greet people at events, you know. So, you know, there's a mime at a party and stuff, but I'm in silence, and what would happen is people, as they arrive and they see me, they start, they quiet down, and then they start moving a lot, you know, and expressing physically, just naturally. And I'd be like, and then acting really, and then start dancing. It is kind of initiates a different, having the, approaching someone who's silent, in that silence, in the heart, shifts the energy immediately. And even I feel it shifting. People coming around the corner feel it before they see me. So it's before sight. It is actually a vibrational thing that we're living in. It's like when you're walking down the street and you feel uncomfortable with someone who's walking, and you cross the street because you have you'll feel more comfortable over there. You're feeling the vibration. It's just a very simple thing. And that is 100% of our communication is actually in silence and in divine silence, in the divine. We're there. And then we bring our mind to it, which is important too. So that being said, I have an experience of when I was performing. I performed with the American Mime Theater, and we were performing actually at Lincoln Center. And one of the pieces is called The Lover. And there's three people in it, and I'm the female lover, and I have a mask on, and it's in silence. So I'd be there, the curtain opens, I'm arched upside down backwards, and in silence, and it's in slow motion. And what I'm doing is coming up and turning around and reaching for my lover, and it's kind of an abstract mime dance, in a sense. And so it's in very slow motion, and it's in very, I'm inside out and backwards, basically arching upside down. And so the curtain opens,
and I hear the audience, and they're going, oh, what's that? Oh, I can hear them talking. And then they settle down, and then I settle down, and I start connecting with my own heart, and I come up, and slowly everything it becomes silent. And then as I turn around and I reach in slow motion for my lover, who's on the other side moving in slow motion as well, I actually heard the heartbeats of the audience.
Really?
So what happened? Yeah. So this, we are on all different levels at the same time. And if we quiet down enough and focus in enough, we hear the divine music, which could be heartbeat, which could be silence, which could be singing of the mountains, you know. I mean, it's there, and we are experiencing it. So what we're doing here, what seems like what the vibrant living and conversations on awakening are opening that awareness, you know, to that we're all connected energetically. And it's as beautiful as having our mind being able to technically, you know, to focus and to combine the two is actually the most divine, and be grounded here on earth in our lives and connecting, I believe, is the most divine awakening.
You know what we're going to do? Yeah, we're gonna walk into the retreat center now in Kauai.
Okay.
With John Adago, Lisa LaRosa. We're gonna invite John to be in this retreat. So we have like a retreat in the next segment. We're going to do direct dialogue with John, and John's going to walk in your world, and he's going to share how do you cut through the addiction, if you will, to our you know, the veil of the mind. We're going to get into East Meets West, John's book, John Adago, Lisa LaRose, Donna Karoff. I'm doing really good on that name today. Blessings. Good afternoon. Stay with us.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hello, you're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks, along with John Adago, East Meets West. We want to give you an excerpt, if you will, from our 6-day retreat upcoming in Kauai with John Adago and Lisa LaRose, who she is. So, Lisa, what bubbles to your mind? By the way, I love what Janet had to say. That was such a revealing. You know, sometimes it's hard to reveal
this other level of listening. It's an uncommon conversation. So Lisa, we're sitting in the retreat center with John. What question would you want to run by John so that John could bridge to the audience some of the wisdom that's practical? What's bubbling for you?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people are seeking right now, and there's a lot of information out there, and there's a lot of, you know, things. Yeah, I think you know, certain people pick up books and, you know, there's not a lot of substance to them. And, you know, so you find, I know just from my own work, where people are questioning and really looking for the truth. So I guess, John, that I would ask you that, you know, when there's individuals that, you know, you come to a lecture, they're from all different backgrounds. You know, they're from all different experiences. Some of them are more well-versed in these teaching, and then you have people that it's completely new to. So when you have somebody come to a workshop or a retreat, how do you sort of blend everybody together so that at the end of, you know, 3-4 days, they're all in sync and really living from the same heartbeat, so to speak, that Janet was talking about?
Yes. Well, first, something comes to mind in what Janet said. Mother Teresa gave a beautiful quote about silence that I think fits in with what Janet was speaking about. And what she said was, we need to find God, and he cannot be found in noise and restlessness. God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass, moon grow in silence. See the stars and the sun, how they move in silence. We need silence to be able to touch souls. Now, when a group comes together, it's quite varied, with different backgrounds, different cultures, different ages. So they each have a different route back to finding their spiritual home. It's as if all mankind were standing on the globe of Earth, and they were each wanting to penetrate to the center. Well, the center is the same for all of them, but they're each going to approach it from a unique starting point. Now, as they get closer to the truth and to themselves, those paths unite, because in fact there is only one truth. Meditation or yoga or any of a number of spiritual disciplines, but all those disciplines are taking them to the same place. It's taking them to the silence and stillness of oneself, myself, yourself, the universal self. And men and women can be shown in a very short period of time how to dive deep, how to let go of the mundane and reach what Ouspensky wrote a book titled In Search of the Miraculous. And by miraculous, he meant a penetration beneath this superficial surface where we tend to leave most of our lives, to a more profound, still reality. And I'm hoping that just by listening to this, the listener begins to go within himself, seek his own reference point, seek the center of his own being, and experience that still point that is, in fact, his consciousness, the source of his being, his true self.
John and Lisa, I just want to say that Dennis is going to be teaching in a moment. So I want to, Janet Carafa is with us from Hawaii. Why don't you go ahead and give out your website? She's going to join us again. She'll be part of our regular team. She's also on the Vibrant Speaking team, and I work with people who want to be speakers. I want to comment. Janet, do you have time for a comment in response to what John just said? I wanted to bring something up.
Sure.
You have time for that? Okay, cool. All right. I had this client, and basically what happened was his brother was in a deep depression for years. He wouldn't come out of the house. He was a former dentist. But he convinced his brother to go to a concert. And at the concert, at the symphony, he came out of the depression. And I became very interested, because when I think about silence, John, I want to bring this back to you as well, and Lisa, that silence for some people thunders. Silence for some people is music. And so I became very interested in different types of meditation. So as an example, for mantra meditation may not work for some people's brain, may not access this consciousness. When I heard that story about the depression dissolving at the concert, I just wanted to see, based on what John said, what have you noticed around, you know, this sense of how silence comes alive in a music that wakes people's soul up?
Yes. Silence is energetic. Hi. And so basically, what I've experienced as a mime, when I go deepest into silence, I actually hear music. I hear the motion. I hear the physics of motion, which is actually, it's like I can hear the body moving in space, and it's actually music. It's like the earth is spinning, the planets are spinning. We're all in a choreography, a dance. It's true. And ourselves, everything. So to connect with that inward and connect with what we have outward at the same time, I think is the ultimate divine awakening. What he's saying is in search of the miraculous to the more profound still reality unique to each person, going towards the center, of which we're all, when we call it oneness. Well, you know, so that it's exactly right. And there are different techniques. And it's just beyond the technique. It's what we do. You know, we have techniques and we soften them and just find what is the most being present, actually, I think. And the most
Jen,
being
on, get
present.
Jen, give your, by the way, we're going to be covering this in depth with John Adago, John Acaroffa, Lisa will be there. We're doing a six-day retreat. We're putting together. John will be one of the featured presenters. And we're talking about how to make this work for you, how to fine-tune your instrument so that the natural rhythms and wonder of you could come through, and you could share that relationally. So you come out of the coping, right? We're coping. We're being overwhelmed. The biggest article, the most popular article, by the way, in BuzzFeed is on burnout among millennials. So millennials clearly were communicating. They have no ability to find some kind of peace and well-being in this rapid pace. So at this retreat on experiencing the miraculous, experiencing the remarkable, the community level is going to be profound. Janet, go ahead and give out your website. And we're going to be letting people know more about this retreat. And by the way, beautiful. I loved your sharing today very much, Janet.
Thank you. The website is Hot Yoga Princeville, PRINCEVILLE.com. I haven't put the retreat up yet. So I do have a button that says retreat, and we're going to put our retreat on there so people can go in, sign up, and ask questions.
And this way there'll be a link to John Adago and John's books.
Yes.
And these recordings. Thank you, Janet. We'll speak to you next time. And again, much love. Appreciate you deeply. John, go ahead and thank you. Go ahead and give out your website so people want to learn. Yeah, you're wonderful. Talk to you soon, Janet. Go ahead. Give out your.
Sure. The website is thejourneyback.net. Thejourneyback.net.
You know,
so you can see
last
the book
night,
there, and I can be contacted through there.
Beautiful. So last night, someone else asked a question for me. And the question was, it was about 10:30 last night, a very close family member of mine had an extreme legal difficulty. And the first thing I said to her, John, I said, you know, this is false power. This has no power over you. But I told her I was going to run it by you today. So right now, there's a lot of people, there's a pressing issue in their lives. It's emotional. There's a pressure they feel. They don't know how to turn off the part of their mind that's driving them crazy. Address that, John. Address right now, someone's going through an emotional upset. Something seems overwhelming. It's something they're going to lose sleep over. How do we turn this experience of the remarkable into a gift in this moment?
I'm going to say aloha.
Yes.
Aloha to you, Janet.
Okay.
Aloha.
Go ahead, John.
What we're describing is the human condition. Human life is inherently, a part of it is pain, as well as a part of it is joy. When we're confronted with a serious dilemma, the first thing to remember is it will pass. Everything in the creation changes. This is not forever, though in the moment, the pain might seem like it will be forever. How do we remember ourselves and our principles and a sense of purpose when we're being attacked or assaulted? Well, first, we remember that I am. And what I am is not dependent on any condition or circumstance. The waves are very much on the surface of the sea. But the sea is deep and still. And so is myself. And so when I'm confronted with what appears to be a tragedy or an urgency or a dilemma or even a climatic situation, I have to come back to my center of being. And there's a very practical thing about that. I mean, I just start by feeling my feet on the ground, sensing my physical body or my weight in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't change. It doesn't change with the weather. It doesn't change by how hard the wind blows. It doesn't change whether the person in front of me loves me or hates me. I still have to deal with the circumstances and the people around me. But to deal with them effectively, I have to remember who and what I am.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. We're doing this series right now with John Adago, East Meets West. We're live in, I call this the retreat center, Lisa. We're asking John to share with us ways that he's integrated into his life after being a deeper student of some of these wonderful teachings that a lot of people are still grappling with, how to bring those into their lives. Lisa, what's bubbling as John shares? What's bubbling for you?
Well, you know, I want to mention, you know, John had just gifted me, which is very generous of you, with the ability to read his children's stories, his manuscript, which a new manuscript which has not yet been published, and also, you know, his other book, Ancient Wisdom. So I'm very excited to start to delve into those works. But, you know, in reading his newest manuscript, which I don't want to divulge too much about, but I'm very excited about it. You know, he has really interwoven a unique group of characters and how they meet. But one of the things that really stuck out for me, and it was a question from a character called the Wanderer, and one of the things that the statements was, people who do not know where they want to go tend to walk in circles. And you know, I had to smile about that, because, you know, sometimes, you know, that's exactly what happens. And I think a lot of the audience can relate to that. And that's what I'm really excited for your workshops and your retreats, John, because it's so accessible to everybody. So somebody that may not have touched into this work would never have to feel intimidated that, you know, well, I don't, you know, I'm just a beginner, like this is too advanced for me. You know, that you know, you can, a circle is a never ending, you know, you can jump in at anyone's place on the circle, and you can, you know, you can go around, you can jump off. But, you know, what you're trying to do is to, you know, define a clarity and a vision for, so that people can have, you know, a clarity of that, you know, that it's okay sometimes, you know, to be able to wander, to run into individuals, to connect with people, to glean the bits of wisdom, you know, to offer your gifts back to them, and, you know, to really, you know, enjoy the adventure and the journey. And I think that's one of the things that I find so remarkable with you. I mean, you know, you had a very varied background, very different, you know, before you started to make a conscious decision to offer this wisdom and bring it forth to the world. And I know it hasn't been an easy journey. So, you know, for somebody that feels like they're walking in circles and, you know, where they're not really sure where to go, what words of wisdom or ancient wisdom or even your wisdom would you want to offer them?
Oh, yeah, we're gonna come right to that beautiful question. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. You know, when you greet someone today, exhale for them. Breathe for them for a moment. Exhale. Let them feel a sense of ease in your presence. Stay with us as we awaken into now, as we have conversations in the awakening with John Adago, East Meets West, in a moment, along with Lisa LaRose. I'm Glenn Brooks.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living
Network. I'm Glenn Brooks, along with John Adago. Eats Meets West. We're having our retreat moment now. To retreat and notice and see if we can allow your perception to shift. Lisa LaRose, producer, co-host. John, Lisa was just talking about the challenge of bringing this beautiful teaching in our lives. And I just want to add on to what Lisa was saying. I want to ask you about your instrument, your body. Because oftentimes in the day, I realize if I change my rhythm and my breath and I make a contact point, it changes the environment. It changes the interaction with someone. And I do this many times when I'm working with speakers. I'll sometimes exhale for them. I'd love you to talk about using the body, the instrument of the body, as a practice that we could use to be in service, to be in tune and relationship to others. And also cover that a little bit, so people have something to take away from today in our retreat here.
Sure. First, let me address what
Please.
You spoke about.
Yes.
We often observe that we're moving around in circles, in repeating patterns, in repeating movements, physically, and what's going on around in our minds and feelings. And often these circles lead us back to the same unsatisfactory result. Well, what would be desirable is that if the life movement went from a circle to a spiral, there's still going to be repetition, but hopefully there's a deepening of understanding and a more profound experience of reality. And practically, the way we do this is to take some time, perhaps weekly or monthly or at least once a season, to formulate an aim, to reflect on what it is I think will fulfill me, make me happy. There's a description of the Zen master who's an archer. Before he draws back the bow, he fixes his eye and his mind and his heart on the target. And once he's established the aim, the target, then he draws back the bow. Well, if the first shot falls short, he draws the bow back further. If the next shot is wide right, he shifts left and shoots again. With perseverance and time, success is assured. Now, this seems pretty simple, but a little reflection, we realize that we are often very vague about what we think will fulfill us and make us happy. So it's useful to actually sit down for a few minutes upon occasion, come to oneself, and say, well, what's the aim for the week or the season or this year? What is it that I want to put my time and energy and resources into pursuing? This is the difference between the man walking a path toward a destination and the man just wandering aimlessly in the woods. Now, Glenn, you spoke about the body. The body is the anchor. It's the physical reality. The mind and the emotions get battered all over the place. There's desires arising constantly, incessantly, one desire after another, and then the mind figures out how to pursue them, and the body gets pulled along like it's being pulled along by a big dog on a leash. And you're dragged through the day pursuing one desire after another, and often these desires are taking us in different directions. And the problem is these desires aren't really desires, they're habits. They're not something that we consciously decided, I want this, or I think this is what should be pursued today. Whether it be an object of love, or an activity that we think will fulfill us, or something that will nurture in us the strength to become more men and women of substance who are of use to ourselves and to others. So this starts with the physical reality. being aware of your physical presence, of your weight in the chair, of your feet on the ground when you walk, with the attention out, where you take note of the sky, where you feel the air on your face, where you actually see and hear and listen to the person who's speaking to you at the moment. In order to do this, we have to come out of the mental and emotional morass that really is very self-centered in an ordinary way. I mean, if I take time to like tune into my mental thoughts, it's really a personal melodrama starring me. The whole plot, everything that's going on, right? The phone calls, the interaction, you know, the bills that come in, everything. It's all about me.
Yes.
And it's a pretty painful place, generally. Not painful. It's vaguely uncomfortable. Vaguely uneasy. When it reaches the point of, like were you before, it's an extreme situation, then it's more than vaguely uncomfortable. It becomes actually painful and compelling and dangerous. But even before that, when we wake up in the morning, you know, and the mind is in this muddle, and you kind of walk around, and you go into the bathroom, and you come out, and you go up and make some coffee, or whatever you do, and it may be 45 minutes before you actually come to yourself, before you actually wake up, breathe, be aware of, you know, the world. We can make these moments of awakening more frequent. These are the moments of consciousness where we actually come to myself and we know that I have a body and I have a spiritual life and that there are people and things around me that are worthy of me giving my conscious attention to. And in that moment when I remember that, I let go of the personal melodrama. And the question isn't what's in it for me. The question is, how do I, as a mature man and woman, respond to the creation in a conscious, loving way?
I want to ask you a question in relation to what you just said about the melodrama. So a lot of people have asked me to run this by you because I'm teaching a course at the Menlo Center with Teshna, who's my partner in this course. So the course is called Divorce the Patterns on Each Other. Divorce the Patterns on Each Other. Now, I wrote a letter to my, she was my wife for many years. I wrote this letter. When I sent her, I said, you know, I could see how I put my pain ahead of your pain. My pain ahead of your pain. And I realized the orientation of self-improvement, sometimes personal development, puts this focus on me, or puts this focus on our dilemma, or the melodrama. And I had about a 14-day period where I, in my body, I breathed differently, I saw differently. It was a pain, but it was very deeply purifying. And I guess what I want to ask you, John, as a family man and being a married man, I want to ask you to put this in, for a lot of people, when I said I was going to be teaching relational meditation, there was a lot of enthusiasm, because for a lot of people in the spiritual path, John, their practice itself sometimes causes a distance, and it's a confusion for a lot of people. And I can tell you that I've gotten some feedback about the course, the you know, Divorce the Patterns on Each Other. And I want to bring you to Menlo, because I want to do some broadcasts. There's a lot of, you know, people who have committed students. But a lot of times, the Dharma itself, people don't know how to be in relationship when they're in the Dharma or the path, or, you know what I mean? They're so focused on them and their melodrama, they don't realize how to relate to someone else and someone else's pain. So I'd love you to comment about that, John.
Yeah, it's what we're speaking about is the art of love.
Yes.
We all want to be loved. We all seek unity. Now, when we're speaking about a relationship, we hope the two become one.
Yes.
We're seeking unity. But what has to be remembered is the way to unite with the object of your love is that you disappear. Your needs and wants are not in the equation. The art of love is to care for and fulfill the needs of the beloved. Your awareness, your strength, your emotional sensibility, your capabilities, your actions, your thoughts are for her sake. All that the lover gets back is the satisfaction of watching his beloved thrive and grow. But that's everything. In those moments when I connect with someone that way, and it could be a lover or a child or a parent or even a client or an associate, in a moment when I put my needs and wants aside and devote myself to the well-being of another human being, that's conscious love. And the beauty of conscious love is it evokes the same in response. And so the object of this love soon seeks to do the same to her lover, which happens to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are beautiful words, but it's a practice that takes a lifetime to master.
Yes.
I mean, I've been married a long time, 47 years, yes. And it's as hard today as it was 45 years ago. It's
well,
hard.
I appreciate your
work.
Honesty.
All right.
No.
What's that, Lisa?
There's a lot of joy.
I think the audience will appreciate it. It doesn't get any easier.
You get better at it. You get better mm-hmm. at it. But it doesn't get easier.
Mm-hmm.
You get stronger.
Yeah.
You get more capable.
Yeah.
You become more of a man or a woman.
Yes. Yeah.
And that in itself is remarkable. Mm-hmm. Because in a way that's a byproduct, because you know, what you sought was unity. And what you get is you become unified.
Well, I think what's so wonderful about you, John, is, you know, there's so many different levels. And I think that anybody coming to your workshop or retreat or even a lecture, you know, there's so many different nuances that you share. And I could actually envision you doing a retreat, like a weekend couples retreat on remarkable love. I think that would be a great exploration. And from somebody that has been in a marriage that long and you know, just exploring some of the things that you do to keep that smile on your face and your wife's face as well. You know, I think it could be a lot of fun.
I like that, Lisa.
Well, that's right. That's what has to be remembered. The object is to keep the smile on her face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
and
because
you know,
ultimately,
and
when you, yeah. Go ahead.
It's the whole art. But it works.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if the object of your love is thriving and happy, you also will be thriving and happy. It's automatic. But that's
Absolutely.
Not the aim. This is not self-centered love, which isn't love at all. It's selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
The aim is, how do I serve the creation? How do I serve every woman, man, child, adult that I meet?
Mm-hmm.
How do I make this creation a little bit of a better place? How do I learn to pull from God's end of the rope?
John, go ahead and give out your website, please.
Sure.
Before we get to the music.
It's thejourneyback.net, thejourneyback.net. The two books are East Meets West and Ancient Wisdom Can Enrich Your Life Today. Ancient Wisdom Can Enrich Your Life Today. Both of those are available on Amazon. If you want to learn more about them, you can go to my website.
And I would encourage people to check John's website for upcoming seminars and retreats that's going to evolve very shortly, but also to keep an eye out on the Vibrant Living Network social media as well, so that we can we'll keep everybody abreast so that they know how to sign up and the details as that becomes available.
And you both, yeah, you both have seen on. I'm sorry, Lisa.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say you both have seen on our Janet's website in Hawaii, Janet Karapa, because we're going to be posting things on the Hot Yoga website. And yeah, I love what John said about the aim and about walking in circles. And I remember once I had a tick on me, and someone I'm going to introduce John to, Dr. Irene Grant. When I had the tick on me, before I called Irene at 11 o'clock at night, I said, "Irene, I got a tick on me." I realized I was so upset I was walking in circles around the house. And she goes, "Stop and get a knife and cut the tick off yourself." Very funny. So yes, we to ground ourselves and then to extend that relationally, take the hand of your lover. And if you want to become more, see, as we become more masculine and feminine, we're such a gift to each other. John, it's a gift having this format. Lisa, you're so precious. Thank you. Your life's precious and joy. And I'm Glenn Brooks for the Vibrant Living Network. Thank you very much. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, Glenn and Lisa. Excellent program. Thank you.
Thank you.